when you are by yourself with God, although with a group. Sometimes feelings surface within us, feelings that we know are negative, feelings that we know need to be dealt with. So after the Word of God this day, we'll give you opportunity to deal with some of these feelings that have surfaced so that we can deal with you, because it falls right in line with what we are saying this day. It was this day 12 years ago that I stood before you and preached my first sermon as pastor of this church. Today is an anniversary for Nancy and me in that we begin 13 years with you, which to me sounds like just, it sounds long, but it really seems very, very short. In fact of the matter is, we feel that the ministry is just beginning. And I told one pastor that we'd been here a few years, and they couldn't understand it. They say, well, I thought pastors left every 2.5 years. That's what it's supposed to be, isn't it? And this was a pastor talking to me now. I said, no, well, it can be, and it is often. In fact, it is usually the case. It's usually the case where pastors just don't stay very long. And so the bad thing about that is that when they get to a point where they don't like the people anymore and they want to move to a higher, greener financial pastures, or the people themselves decide they don't like the pastor anymore because now he's stopped preaching and gone to meddling, then it's so easy just for the pastor to leave and start all over again until the Spirit of God works through him to that very same point again, as I perceive it, and then there is another change, and that's why pastors come and go. And the Lord has tempted me to leave many times, and two times in particular, to Reno First Baptist and San Francisco First Baptist, where the opportunity of doors were open to begin the exploration. Both times, and I say this because it's important, both times Nancy and I felt that while this would be a nice thing to do, it wasn't the Lord's will. Because had I gone, I would not be able to preach to you this sermon today, which I think is one of the most important sermons I've ever preached. Because I would not be at this point in my life. You would not be at this point in your life. You would have gone back to Mr. A, B, or C, or D, or Z. And I would have gone back to the way things hopefully would be, but we had never attained. And I have a book in my office. It's entitled, If I Had One Sermon to Preach. I don't think I've ever read the book, but I have looked at the cover of it. I guess it was given to me years ago. If I had one sermon to preach. And people, if I was told by a publisher, give me one sermon from you, from your ministry, and we'll put it in a book entitled One Sermon to Preach. If I had one sermon to preach, I would have to quickly decide from all of the thousands of sermons, I would bring them down to maybe 5 sermons. And from those 5 sermons, I would ask God which one of the 5 would be the most important. I know without a shadow of a doubt that this sermon you're about to hear would be in that category. It is that important. So to that end, pray with me. Father God, I ask that you bless this day, you anoint the word of God this day as we clear the land for building our house. I smite you, Satan, in the name of Jesus, for coming against this body of Christ with distractions of every kind. Children, stomach, noises outdoors, fantasy of the afternoon. I come against you in the name of Jesus, and I bind all of these forces so that we, as the children, can listen to the Father this day as he speaks through this servant, the Word of God. And I thank you, Father, that you, the God of yesterday, 12 years ago, becomes today the God of tomorrow. And I commit this sermon to you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Clearing land for your house. I have never, ever cleared land for a house. I've pulled weeds for a garden, but I have never cleared land of trees for a house. Maybe some of you have, or your parents did, or we've all seen it done on television. Clearing the land is very important to build the house. Now, what are you sitting in right now except the house? Not this house of God, but you are sitting in a house. You are sitting right now in a house. It's called the house of God, or the temple of God. The temple of God. Now, I want you to open your Bibles to three books. Put your finger, put your bulletin, your chalice, or a marker, or something in the book of Exodus. Look for the book of Joshua and for the book of Judges. We'll be turning to Exodus, Joshua, and Judges. Two foundations for this sermon, as I think about it in my mind, would be a sermon a year or two ago about taking time for demon removal, and a discussion that we had at the Settlemore's house in an Agape meeting last year, I think it was, when we talked about the same thing. Clear the land for the house. People, we've got land that's got to be cleared to put the house in. It's obvious that if you came into the church and you were going to sit in the pew and there was a book there, what would you do before you sat down? You would have to clear the land for the house. Now, these scriptures that we're going to turn to come from Exodus, from Joshua, and Judges, but we must establish first these facts. We must establish fact number one, that your body is dust, and dust is real estate. And the definition of real estate is landed property, including all inherent natural resources, and any man-made improvements established thereon. You've got the dust, and it's real estate, and it is your landed property because your spirit landed in it when you were born. And it includes all the inherited natural resources of the body, and any man-made improvements. Now, man-made improvements would be the allowing of the well of salvation and the waters to flow out of your body. You have made that improvement in your land when you asked Jesus to come into your heart and when you asked him to baptize you. These are improvements that have been established thereon. So we establish these facts. Fact number one, you are dust, dust is land. Secondly, your spirit, the eternal man, resides in your land. Your spirit of the eternal man resides in your real estate, in your land. Point three, the land can be infected with illnesses, diseases, etc. The land can be invaded by diseases, illnesses, problems, what all you might have that's negative. And these are demons that come into the land, into the real estate, into which your spirit has been placed. And the fourth established fact that we must make is that you do not have the demon, but the land has it. And as long as you live in the real estate, you've got it, and you've got to do something about it. So the point is that we clear the land that we live in for the house of God. Now, when you have sung this nice little song, in the temple, or in the temple, Jesus standing in the temple, referring to Jesus and the temple, referring to this temple too. Jesus does not live in your body. He lives in your spirit. Because how could Jesus, who knows no evil, live in your land? You've got to clear the land so that the spirit can reside. That's your house. Your house is in and on the real estate. So with these established facts, we want to turn to these scriptures. And I have right here, Robin Lynn Kenny, that I'm supposed to say. Now you take Brandon, for example, who was recently born, and we're still waiting. But I have in parentheses Carrie, too. When the baby born this afternoon is ushered into the world, Brandon will have natural immunity to infections for 6 months, I'm told. For 6 months, approximately, the baby is not susceptible to the germs that are in the air. The air is full of germs. But they do not affect the baby because the baby's got the natural resistance. But when the natural resistance ends, then the child becomes susceptible to the germs. And I believe that every germ is of demonic nature. God's not going to make a germ and send you a germ. God doesn't make germs. Satan does all of these things. And he throws them at us. Well, for a while, they're not going to hurt us because of the natural resistance. But when we get a little older, and if we can shift spiritually now into this gear, when we get to the age of accountability, then we're going to be bombarded by these things, and we're going to be affected by these things. So with a Christian, we've got the basic protection plan, if you want to call it that, the basic plan. But it's not a foolproof plan, because we still live in the land. Now, Exodus 23, verse 20. Exodus 23, verse 20. Behold, I send an angel before you to keep you in the way and to bring you into the place where I have prepared. An angel to help you where you are now, to get you to the place in the land where I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice. This is not the angel now. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. But if you shall indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries. Hallelujah. God's going to he's going to send an enemy. He's going to be the enemy to the enemy. You get an infection, or scratch that. If you want to become immune, what do you get put into you? You get put into you the enemy to fight off the enemy. God says, if you obey me, I will then be the enemy to your enemy. And I will bring you into the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I will cut them all off. Verse 24. Thou shalt not bow down to their gods, for nor serve them, nor do after their works, but thou shalt utterly overthrow them and quite break down their images. And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you. There shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren in thy land. The number of thy days I will fulfill. I'll take sickness away from thee. He is saying, I'm giving you the land. I'm giving you the deed. So when you were born, people, you were born into the land. And yourself inside got the land. Well, Satan wants the land too. These people were given the land deed. He told them to go in and get the land, but the land's full of people. Walled cities, farms, and what have you. And there were a lot of people living there, and they're just not going to pack up and leave when you come in and say, hey, I want you to leave, this is my land. Nor when you get a little sickness, is it going to leave if you say, well, now I wish you'd get out of me now, this is the land, this is real estate that belongs to God. Not until God becomes the enemy to the enemy. And you've got to ask God to be the God who is going to be the enemy to the enemy. Now, they were going in with physical force and with physical power to rout out the enemy into their land. Now, the land is like the body that we've come into. And there must be no compromise with the indwelling persons or demons that live within us. Remember, they are real, and their attributes, the attributes of these demons, they have knowledge, they have will, they have voices, they have power, etc., etc., etc. And this is what we're coming up against. And people, you can say they don't exist, but they exist. You can say, I don't have any, but you've got them if you are a human being on planet Earth. They're in the land, and God says, to these people, go into the land and get them out. But you must not take part nor serve their gods, and you must break down their images. The second phase of this goes from verse 27. I will send my fear before thee, and will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come, and I will make all thine enemies turn their backs unto you. And I just see when people come together in the name of Jesus and we're worshiping the Lord, and you really mean when you say, I praise you, Lord Jesus, I worship you, I adore you. When you say that, people, there are some spirits within you that just have to flee. They can't stay there. These are the little empty imps. They're there. They can't stay there. They have to go because you have started praising God. And inside your whole land, you are proclaiming, Jesus reigns, Jesus reigns, Jesus reigns. And these people are sent away. They turn their backs. God said, I'll send hornets before you, which will drive out the Hivites, the Canaanites, and the Hittites from before thee. Uh-oh. I will not drive them out from before you in 1 year. He just got through saying, I'm going to drive them out. But then God, and never questioning people, God says, I will not drive them out from you in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field multiply against you. But little by little, verse 30, little by little, every time you come for a deliverance, every time you come to be prayed for, little by little I'll drive them out from before you until thou be increased and inherit the land. But little by little. And I will set thy bounds from the Red Sea even unto the Sea of the Philistines. I like that, from the top of my head to the tip of my toe. And from the desert unto the river, from my right hand to the left hand, I will deliver the inhabitants of your land into your hand. And you'll drive them out before you. I shall make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. Don't make any covenant with them or with them gods. You know, they'll tempt you and they'll whisper to you, but don't listen. Thou shalt not dwell in the land, lest they make thee sin against me. You hear that? They shall not dwell in thy land, lest they make thee sin against thee. They, those within you, make you sin against God. For if you serve their gods, it will surely be a snare unto you. Look back at verse 27. Get in the ring, he says. Verse 28, get in there and fight. Verse 29, I'm going to give you a promise now. I'm going to give you that promise. Verse 30, use what you've got. God will clear more. Verse 32, no covenant. Spiritual applications now are important because you've got some idols at home. Oh, yes, you do. You do. You do. You've got idols at home. You have idols in your house. Get rid of these idols. Now, they may not be the things of this world, but they may be the things of the land inside, the spiritual things, the fleshly things that Galatians speaks about, all 17 of those things that have to be removed. The flesh and the land. And then verse 33, if you don't, they're going to be a snare. A snare to you. You know, a snare pulls somebody away. A snare captures too. And further he says, the idols will be pricks to your eyes. How hard, how uncomfortable to have something in your eye. Or he says, there will be a thorn in your side. How uncomfortable to have a discomfort in your side. And God says, people, this is what it's going to be. They will be there. Snares, pricks, and thorns. Unless you get them out. And in the meantime, while you're fighting them, you do not have part of them. Now, you already tabbed your Bible to Joshua. Go to 17. Joshua 17. Joshua chapter 17, 14 through 18. And the children of Joseph spake unto Joshua, saying, Why hast thou given me but one lot and one portion to inherit, seeing I am a great people? For as much as the Lord hath blessed me hitherto. And Joshua answered them, If thou be a great people, then get up to the wood country, and cut down for yourself there in the land of the Perizzites and of the giants, if Mount Ephraim be too narrow for you. And the children of Joseph said, The hill is not enough for us. And all the Canaanites that dwell in the land of the valley have chariots of iron, both they who are of Bethshean and her towns, and they who are of the valley of Zeriel. And Joshua spake unto the house of Joseph, even to Ephraim and to Manasseh, saying, Thou art a great people, and hast great power. You are great people today. Jesus' name. We got great power in the name with the blood and the word. Thou shalt have one lot only. For the mountain shall be thine, for it is a wood, and thou shalt cut it down, and the outgoing of it shall be thine, for thou shalt drive out the Canaanites, though they have iron chariots, and though they be strong. You will drive them out. If they be such a great people, then you've got the permission to get them out. If you be a great people, you say you are, then you've got permission to get them out. Carve out your future. Joshua says, you want more? You want more in this life, people? You want more than you got in the life that you're in? Then you got to clear out the land. You got to go and do some work. Yes, you've got to carve out your future. You've got to cut down the trees. You've got to do what's got to be done. And what comes easy goes away easy. The things we struggle for are valued and appreciated. And so these people have been told, if you want more in life, then you got to go after it by cutting down the wood country. But then you have an advantage point to come against the enemy, because they, even with the chariots of iron, and they have these scythes in the side, they're not going to affect you. Even though they're armed this way, verse 16, he says, clear away the wood. Now, why do you clear away the wood? Where was the wood? The wood wasn't down there in the valley. The wood was up on the mountain. Now, he says, you go up to the mountain. You tear down the wood. You clear the land. You make places for your home. You make place for it to live. And then when the mountains are all cleared of the wood, then you have an advantage point against the enemy. Who went to the mountains to pray? Who went to the mountain to die? Mount Gethsemane, Mount Calvary. You go to the mountain, people. It's not going to be easy up there. Satan's not going to want you there. So you're going to have to fight for the spot that you stand upon and clear out all the wood. And, of course, you could digress and sermonize on all the wood. Tree of this, tree of that, and tree of that. So you clear away the wood. Then you got the advantage point to come against the people who had the iron chariots that lived in the valleys. And he says, you will go there, and you will be able to drive out the enemies of the valley. Your situation be advantageous. And those who live in the valley, in the Salinas Valley, he says, will be upon you no more as enemies, because the hand of God will be upon you for good. Praise God. The hand of God will be upon you for good. That's why you can read in 1 John 4:4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. On the mountaintop, you get him in you. And greater is he within you than he that is in the world. Now, may I read 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 16. He answered, Fear not, for they be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray you open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountains were full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. God says, fear not, I'm going to be with you. And there are going to be some more with you. And who are the more? The angels of God that outnumber the demonic spirits. Go, he says, clear the mountain, then you can adequately clear the valley. The fourth section of scripture comes from Joshua 23. If you'll turn to chapter 23, look at verse 1. It came to pass a long time after that that the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about. And Joshua was getting old, way up in age. But God had given them rest from all their enemies. And then down to verse 5, the Lord your God, he shall expel them from before you and drive them from you out of your sight. And you shall possess their land, as the Lord God hath promised unto you. When Satan, here clearly, was cast out of heaven, and he took with him one third of all the angel population, the scripture says, you can go to earth and that will be your home. I'm paraphrasing it. The earth has become the home of Satan. That is why, as we read here in verse 5, Joshua 23, verse 5, he will expel them from out of your sight. You shall possess their land. You see, they said, hey, this is my land, and you'll possess them and get rid of them and drive them out of their land as the Lord God hath promised you. And then look at verse 6. Be ye therefore very courageous to keep and do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that you turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left. Verse 7. That ye come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow themselves unto them. But people cleave unto the Lord your God, as you have done unto this day. For the Lord hath driven out from before you great nations and strong, but as for you, no man hath been able to stand before you unto this day. One man of you shall chase 1,000. One man of you shall chase 1,000. In the name of Jesus, I command 1,000 demons out right now. For the Lord your God, he is he that fighteth for you, as he hath promised you. The victory is he promised to go with you to be the enemy, to the enemy, and a God to you. So take heed, therefore, unto yourselves that ye love the Lord your God. Love him, people. Love the Lord. Worship him. Lest if you do in any wise go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and go into them, and they to you. Know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive. Are you hearing what I'm reading? Know for a certainty, if you marry the images of the people that are against God, which is the way of the world today, the way of most people in King City today, if you marry their lifestyle, then I will no longer drive any of these nations from before you. They then will be snares, traps unto you, scourges in your sides, thorns in your eyes, and ye perish from off this good land which the Lord God hath given you. He said, here's the inheritance. The God of yesterday is going to be the God of today. When I read these scriptures and I see what God said to the people and I see what God is saying to me and what God is saying to you, how is it that we can be so stubborn? How is it we can be so stubborn and go back to the way of the world and pick up the things of the world, have the idols that we have, when God says, hey, if you do that, then I no longer will be the enemy to your enemy. In other words, I will no longer be the top, the thing that you get for the shots before. Help me, somebody. The antitoxin, the antibodies, I'll not be for you that which you get so that you won't get polio. so that you won't get measles. You see, you passed the 6 months, people. Oh, I love you. I've seen you give your tithes and offerings. I've seen you be baptized. I've seen you take communion. I've seen you pray and worship. But you see, you're responsible now. You passed the time, and I will no longer be to you. He says, now I have been and will be, but then if you decide to go back, then it's like, poof, getting it all out. You're getting all of the antibodies out of you. You have nothing to fight the infection of the enemy. Satan is an infector. He infects us. And he wants to establish a strong hold in the land that God has given you, the real estate. And so he is saying it's going to require a lot of courage now. And verse 6 is what he's saying. They'll pursue you, but now I brought your fathers out. Verse 6, Joshua 23, get courageous, do all that's written in the book, and turn not aside from the left or to the right. Come out from these nations, verse 7. This is not history. God is saying to all of us, come out from the nation. Come out from King's city and be ye separate, he says. Because he who walks in the counsel of the ungodly will soon stand in the way of sinners, shortly sit in the seat of the scornful. No man rises to the highest stages of iniquity, but by degrees. So God told those people, if you want the land, you got to come out. You got to come out, and you have got to stand for what you believe. Even though there are going to be those people who will come against you and attack you and say, well, don't really believe that, do you? In other words, he says, come out, don't walk in the council. You've got to be very careful whose company you keep. You've got to be careful whose company you keep. If you keep company with people who don't believe the way you believe, then you are inviting some problems. Someone said, well, I'm with a group of people that don't believe I believe, but I'm going to stay with them so that they may see what I believe. It doesn't work that way. It's true, they may not change you from what you believe, but if you are totally in allegiance with and a bond of friendship with people that don't believe the way you believe, they will keep you where you are. You cannot then arise higher and higher. So we've got to watch the company that we keep. I'm talking about people who've left our church who don't believe the way we believe. If you're with them, if you associate with them, if you're with them all the time this way, they are going to keep you where you are. They're not going to help you go deeper and deeper in the things of God. They're going to keep you where you are or turn you away and back. The scripture says, don't walk with them. Don't walk with them. Watch out who you associate with. The scripture we just said, be very, very careful. Come out from among them. Be the witness in the land. You have to be. And then in verse 10, he says, as we've read, one man will chase out a lot, driving out the enemies. Oh, I don't have any enemies. Somebody said, I don't have any enemies. Bunch of bull, you've got enemies, people, and Satan is your greatest enemy, and he wants right now to destroy each one of you. He wants you defeated. He wants you crushed. Satan is a liar. He is a deceiver. He wants right now you to say, well, the pastor doesn't know what he's talking about. I can do what I want to do. No, you can't. You've got to do what Jesus wants you to do. And he says here, you've got to go out and you've got to fight that battle. And meeting the enemies means forfeiting your life for Christ. If you don't forfeit your life for Christ, you're not going to be very effective in the battle that he's placed us in. Make no league, he says. Now turn to Joshua, the Judges, the next and the last scripture. Turn to Judges chapter 1 and listen to what he says. It follows right in line with what we're saying. Judges chapter 1, verse 2 and verse 3. The Lord said, Judah, go up, and behold, I have delivered the land into his hand. And Simon said unto Joshua said to Simon, his brother, come up with me. Come with me now, please, that we'll fight against the Canaanites. And I likewise will do with thee thy lot. So Simon said, okay, I'll go with you. And look at chapter 2, verse 2, 3 and 4. Ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. Ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of King's City. Ye shall throw down their altars. But you have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? Why have you done this? Therefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides. You wonder why you're not going as you should go with the Lord, or why things aren't changing in your life spiritually. Right here, they are thorns in your sides, and their gods shall be a snare unto you. It shall come to pass, when the angel of the Lord spake these words unto all the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voices and they wept. But today, we just put our armor on real tight and say we're just going to be just as stiff. The armor is only in the front, people. And if your enemy start pushing you back and you turn to run, you've got no protection at all, no immunization at all. Make no league with them. Christian, go to the cross. Get saved, as a person does to become a Christian. And then as a Christian, you Christian, go back to the cross. And keep going back to the cross. And don't make league with the world. Don't make league with the devil. Don't make league with family members. Don't make league with friends. Now, God gave the Israelites a grant of a whole land. He's given us this whole land. And he says, now you do something about it. Well, I'm hearing one of you say, well, now, why can't I just say in the name of Jesus, let it be out? Won't that work? Yes, that works. But sometimes it doesn't work that easy. I tell you, if somebody came to my property and told me, get off of it, I want to live there now. Little House in the Prairie, a good example, many episodes gone by. You know, this is my land. The people fought for that. You wouldn't give it up so easily. And so it does take time. And for you who say that it doesn't take time for deliverance, let me give you three scriptures and we'll just hit them in pass. Scripture 1, Mark 15:13, Jesus himself, when he told the demons to come out of the man and go into the swine, the scripture says, the word is used, coming out. And coming out, in this Greek word, is a process of time, a process of time. Second scripture, in Acts 16:18, when Peter was rebuking the evil spirit in that woman, it says, within the hour it happened. Within the hour. It may have taken 45. The Apostle Paul. Wow, the Apostle Paul taking 45 minutes to do this. What about puny you and me today? And the third is in Exodus 23, we've already looked at. We grow in our land. We grow in the land. If God gave us the whole real estate at one time, it would be overwhelmingly infested with animals and we couldn't control it. And the briars and thorns, and God gives us just a little as we go so we can possess the land as we go, and then it becomes under God's control. Now, Deuteronomy 7, verse 15 says, and the Lord will take away from you all sickness, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt which thou knowest upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate you. Back to the Judges chapter 1 and verse 2, God gave the Israelites a grant of a whole land. He promised to drive out the enemies if you continue faithful. And while they continued faithful, God became the enemy to the enemy and drove the enemies out of the children of Israel, and they got the land. When they became unfaithful to God and rebelled against him, he abandoned them, and the enemies came in right away and prevailed. Now, people, in conclusion, each one of us rebel against God. And when we rebel against God, we produce a corresponding judgment. We produce a corresponding consequences in the affairs of our life. Only he who stands firm with God's word is going to be saved. And God this day has spoken to us prophetically. He's spoken to your inner being. He's spoken to you through your worship. He's spoken to you with this preached word of God. And he's saying that you've been given real estate. Occupy it. Clear the land for the house. Clear the land for the house. Clear the land for the house. You hear? Clear the land for the house. Because your land was given to the enemy to begin with. But God has now given it to you. I praise God that he's told us that we can clear the land for the house of God. Father God, in Jesus' name, I thank you for the real estate that we live in. You've given it to us, Father, as a possession. And you have told us that you will be with us to rout out the enemy that infests the land in which we live. And you've told us that you would be the enemy to our enemies as long as we were faithful to you. And Father, we don't need to be very intelligent to understand that not only are we talking about demonic influences, we're talking about just things that happen in our life and the lack of victories that we have when we seem to be defeated or discouraged or the different things that Satan puts upon us. The victory is ours in Jesus' name. And I curse Satan and his demons for tricking me, for tricking my wife, for tricking my children, for tricking my church that the Lord has given me to pastor, for tricking every member in this church, their husbands, their wives, and their children in their homes. I smite you, Satan, for tricking us and defeating us. And I ask, God, that your word echoes so loud in our hearts that say, I will do for you what I did for them. And the thing, Lord, that put me in the ministry more than anything else was that song that said, what he will do for others, he'll do for you. Get your eyes off people. Put your eyes on Jesus and what God did for Jesus, he'll do for you. He'll resurrect you. He will save you. He will deliver you. He will strengthen you. He will be with you all the days of your life. And you needn't wonder and worry how you're going to die. The automobile may take you, or an illness because of Satan may take you, or what have you. But God says, I'm going to be with you at the very depot of life, ready to receive you into myself. You won't have to cross Jordan alone. And then I'll give you the new land, free of all the enemies that have infested your earthly real estate. For I am the God who heals and performs this wonder. I praise you, Father God. You're here this morning and you're not a Christian. The call is to accept Jesus as your personal Savior. If you are here this day and you know there are problems in your land, you want to get rid of them, then now's the time to say, hey, brother, hey, sister, come help me. I want God's blessing upon me to free me of these things. Lorenda's come forth and she wants some ministry. Mary has discerned some thing in stubbornness. And she wants ministry for herself, for the body. And you may be here too. Now what I want you to do is to be honest with me. Is there something wrong in your life that you want? You've given it to us, Father, as a possession. And you have told us that you will be with us to rout out the enemy that infests the land in which we live. And you've told us that you would be the enemy to our enemies as long as we were faithful to you. And Father, we don't need to be very intelligent to understand that not only are we talking about demonic influences, we're talking about just things that happen in our life and the lack of victories that we have when we seem to be defeated or discouraged or the different things that Satan puts upon us. The victory is ours in Jesus' name. And I curse Satan and his demons for tricking me, for tricking my wife, for tricking my children, for tricking my church that the Lord has given me to pastor, for tricking every member in this church, their husbands, their wives, and their children in their homes. I smite you, Satan, for tricking us and defeating us. And I ask, God, that your word echoes so loud in our hearts that say, I will do for you what I did for them. And the thing, Lord, that put me in the ministry more than anything else was that song that said, what he will do for others, he'll do for you. Get your eyes off people. Put your eyes on Jesus and what God did for Jesus, he'll do for you. He'll resurrect you. He will save you. He will deliver you. He will strengthen you. He will be with you all the days of your life. And you needn't wonder and worry how you're going to die. The automobile may take you, or an illness because of Satan may take you, or what have you. But God says, I'm going to be with you at the very depot of life, ready to receive you into myself. You won't have to cross Jordan alone. And then I'll give you the new land, free of all the enemies that have infested your earthly real estate. For I am the God who heals and performs this wonder. I praise you, Father God. You're here this morning and you're not a Christian.